Jack Posobiec still in here, guest hosting for Charlie Kirk. Two incredible interviews that we have to get into. First up, Mojave County. The fact that they, under duress, had to certify this election, were threatened with prison time, threatened with arrest and criminal enforcement. We're going to dig into that. And then also, Senator Sheldon Whitehouse targeting Turning Point USA and using the agents of the IRS, like the East German Stasi. Big setup, folks. Buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com.
All right, Jack Posobiec in for Charlie Kirk. Make sure you're getting your tickets for the upcoming Meeting of the Minds, the summit that's going to be held, amfest.com, promo code POSO. It's December 17th to the 20th, Phoenix, Arizona. Myself, Tucker Carlson, Steve Bannon, Charlie Kirk, Tim Pool, Mike Lindell, oh yeah, and so many more will be there. You have to come. We're going to lay out the plan for America because we live in a country where things like this happen. And our next guest is going to explain it to us because I saw this piece out of the Daily Caller News Foundation. Incredible scoop, just tremendous amount of real journalism, by the way, as Rush Limbaugh used to say, a spontaneous act of journalism. But I wouldn't put the Daily Caller in that category because they do journalism every day. Exclusive, Katie Hobbs' office threatened county board with arrest and indictment if they didn't certify the results of the election. And it was by Arjun Singh, the investigative reporter. And we have him on. We have him on today to discuss this entire situation. Arjun, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me, Jack. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. So please go through this email because we've got listeners here, of course, in Arizona. But we've also got folks outside of Arizona who may not understand the context that all of this went down in this Mojave County. But please walk us through the situation and then walk through your reporting.
Sure, Jack. So here's what happened. After Election Day, all the counties had to meet to essentially canvass the returns. Those are technical terms that mean certify the results of their county's elections. There weren't any sort of major issues in Mojave County that at least the supervisors brought up. But in Maricopa County, the largest county in Arizona where Phoenix is located, there have been ongoing problems over there. There have been disputes, at least among the boards of supervisors. And the Mojave County Board decided to delay their certification until November 28th as a political statement, according to them, in opposition to what was happening in Maricopa County, where there were so many problems. Now, this is something that really upset Katie Hobbs' team. She's still the Secretary of State now until she resigns to assume the governorship, presumably later in 2023. And so her team, her top elections deputy, specifically Corey Lorick, who's the Arizona State Elections Director, sent threatening letters and emails to members of the Mojave County Board of Supervisors, the elected representatives on the board. She said that they would be threatened with, they would face legal action, recovery of costs, sanctions against the attorneys who represented them if they did not vote to certify the results on the 28th. She even said that they could be sort of charged under a class 6 felony, Arizona statute 16-10-10, if they refuse to certify by the 28th, which is the deadline under state law. They claimed that it was a ministerial duty as opposed to, say, an act where the board could undertake some due diligence, could audit, could hold hearings, could listen to voters before deciding whether or not to certify. And so that was the main controversy. Ultimately, they did certify on the 28th. But as the chairman of the board, Ron Gold, said, He was being forced to do so, else he would face criminal charges. It was sort of a certification under duress, if you will. And so that's what happened. And that's the result of what Corey Lorick and Katie Hobbs people at the Arizona Secretary of State's office were doing.
And we have the email here. I'm looking at it. I've never seen an email like this in my life. Usually when you see these types of emails, they're very perfunctory between intergovernmental agencies. This is not like that. If you do not perform your ministerial duty to canvass your election results today, we'll have no other choice but to pursue legal action and seek fees and sanctions against the board. Our office will take all legal and necessary action necessary to ensure that Arizona's voters have their votes counted, including referring the individual supervisors who vote not to certify for criminal enforcement under ARS 16-10-10. And then, of course, the ending, please let me know if you have any questions. There's that snarky ending there. Please let me know if you have any questions. Thanks, Corey. I mean, this, I'm looking at something like this. What is the point of certification if it's forced? The point of certification is that you have someone, the entire process, right? Someone evaluating the process, making sure it's fair, checking the work, coming back, saying they agree. This is certification with under duress. And we're looking at this situation. We're not only on top of all this. It's not just, by the way, an election, any old election. It's an election where the person sending the email, this Corey Lorick, is directly working for the person who is going to become, if all of this goes through, the next governor of Arizona. And I guarantee, by the way, would not be shocked if Corey Lorick finds her way into the Arizona governor's mansion, the next administration, someone goes along. So we're going to be paying very close attention to this. Arjun, in your reporting here, have you ever seen anything like this before in any other election?
No, I haven't, Jack. And the people I've talked to from Arizona say they've never seen anything like it either. Firstly, this is the first time that they're being sort of controversial about certifying the results, canvassing the results. In 2020, where the presidential election was contested, this wasn't a problem. They didn't receive threatening letters and emails from the Secretary of State's office for raising concerns about what they thought were sort of issues with the ballots. But it's happening this time, and that's sort of really unprecedented. It's also unprecedented given, as you mentioned, the conflict of interest over here. Corey Lorick is Katie Hobbs' top deputy. Katie Hobbs' votes are under sort of contention in this certification. So the fact that her top deputy is sending these, you know, criminal threats to elected representatives regarding her own superiors' votes is somewhat odd over here. And what's really most egregious about this is the fact that, you know, this is what they call a ministerial duty, because I guess as everybody knows now, after January 6, 2021, watching what happened over there at the Capitol, Congress does have the ability to say, raise objection, the writs that they receive from the various states. And there's a speech and debate clause in the Constitution, which protects them from any legislative action that they take, you know, during, while they raise those objections, any objections that they state on the floor in their speeches. That's a protection they have. They can't be criminally charged for doing that. And there are analogous provisions in all the state constitutions as well for the state legislatures. But for this local board, for the Mojave County Board of Supervisors, all of whom are elected representatives, there's no such protection for them at all. They have to simply sort of do what the state tells them. And if they don't, they'll be criminally charged. That, I think, is really egregious. And it's quite different from what we, at least, you know, Americans and voters expect when it comes to election oversight.
No, I couldn't agree more, Arjun. Let people know, what are your coordinates, and are you going to be following up on this? Are you going to be continuing to investigate this story as it unfolds?
Well, thank you very much, Jack. Absolutely. Unfortunately, sort of the certifications of all the counties I've done, Cochise County in Arizona as well was forced by a judge last night to certify the results, which they've already done. But then again, there's the whole question as to whether or not the lawsuits that have been filed against counties and for boards of supervisors certifying will be undertaken. Kerry Lake has filed a lawsuit. Abraham Hamadeh in the attorney general's race has filed a lawsuit. So there's certainly a lot of questions coming out of Arizona, and we will definitely be sort of picking up those stories and bringing the facts to people as they figure out what's going on in the state. And you can catch me on Twitter, Arjun S. Writings. That's my handle. That's where I post all these other scoops and exclusives that we'll be bringing to you from the Daily Caller News Foundation as this pans out.
Incredible, incredible reporting. Thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you for being on here. Thank you for your work. And I guarantee you that Charlie will be having you back on, because the story is not going away. And we as a country are not going to let them treat our officials this way while they are taking power. And we have questions about what happened in Maricopa County, which never should have happened to anyone anywhere in the country, regardless of your political beliefs.
Look, do you know if you're getting enough magnesium? Because 4 out of 5 Americans are not. Look, I started to take magnesium and it was a game changer for me. And a big problem is because magnesium is involved in over 600 biochemical reactions in your body. I want to talk to you about the most common signs to look at that you might not have magnesium. You might have enough magnesium. Are you irritable or anxious all the time? Do you struggle with insomnia? Do you experience muscle cramps or twitches? Do you have high blood pressure? Are you sometimes constipated? There are dozens of symptoms, and magnesium might be able to help you. Now, there's a lot of people that don't know things about magnesium. Just taking any magnesium supplement won't solve your problems. You need one that actually will absorb in your body. That's why I exclusively recommend Magnesium Breakthrough. It's the only full-spectrum magnesium supplement with 7 unique forms of magnesium that your body can actually use and absorb. Here comes the best part. The makers of Magnesium Breakthrough Bioptimizers are having a Black Friday special offer from November 21st to the 29th. You can get not only Magnesium Breakthrough, but all of Bioptimizers' best-in-class products with 25% off. Just go to buyoptimizers.com/Kirk and enter code KIRK10 to get 25% off any order. This is the best time to stock up on the products, and you'll love to try all their new ones. Go to buyoptimizers.com/Kirk10. If you've arrived here late and did miss this special offer, don't worry. There's always a 10% off for my listeners with the code KIRK10. I'm a big fan of magnesium. I love Bioptimizers. They're a great company. All Bioptimizer supplements are best in class. If for some reason you feel differently, you can get a free refund, no questions asked. They're so confident, they offer a 365 money-back guarantee. Go to buyoptimizers.com/Kirk with code KIRK10.
Mark Elias. Don't we all love Mark Elias? Look, and I'm going to say something. This may be a little controversial to say on a conservative talk show and on the Charlie Kirk talk show. And you got to say this, right? I respect Mark Elias. I do. You know what? And I would say, why don't conservatives have a Mark Elias? Why don't we have someone who is just going forward state after state after state, right? And setting this up when it comes to our elections? Because you look at Mark Elias, right? To make sure, by the way, that we don't get the elections thrown out, that we actually get election laws followed, that we actually have elections that are legitimate in this country. So we don't have situations like Maricopa County where people are forced away because of the incompetence or potentially malfeasance of the people like old Bill Gates, get the true code, the old okey doke, running the old okey doke. Remember these guys? And it's the smugness, right? It's the smugness. So Charlie tweeted a tweet. He said, "So Katie Hobbs oversees one of the most embarrassing botched elections in the history of the country, one in which she herself is a candidate, and a federal judge has ordered Kerry Lake's lawyers to pay sanctions for filing suit to redress her legitimate grievances. Unbelievable." Mark Elias responds, "Not only were Lake's lawyers sanctioned, but you forgot that Cochise County was also ordered to certify," and you can hear him squealing as he writes it, "a great day for democracy all around." Reminds me of that guy from, The Princess Bride, right? You know, "You've committed one of the great blunders. Conceivable." Right. And the only thing being, though, is the dude from Princess Bride. What's his name? Fezziwig. He's much, much Richard Levine, is much, much better looking than Mark Elias. Mark Elias is, if you looked up like gross and disgusting in the library, or excuse me, the dictionary. And then you find, hopefully, there'd be a whole library section of Marco Elias. But when they say democracy, folks, when they say democracy, they mean liberalism. Understand that Adrian Vermeule was right when he said that. They say democracy, but they mean liberalism. This is why leverage is important. That's the theme of our show today. This is why Georgia is important. And if you're looking at Georgia, right, this is the thing that we learned, from the 2022 midterms. It's that if you are in one of these states that allows early voting, that allows vote by mail, then you have to be in the ballot business, because that's where power is derived. We need leaders who understand power and know how to wield it. We need leaders who know how to wield it, okay? And that is key. That is key. Because when you're looking at these situations, you know, this is something that I've always said about Trump, that he has this intuitive understanding of who has power and who has leverage, because he's got this raw, and it, you know, may come across as crude, right? People might think it comes across as crude, but he can always tell who's got the leverage. He always seems to be able to tell. And I think that's the new mold that really the Trump model set for the Republican Party and the conservative movement, that we aren't just going to get elected and win elections anymore, that you have to actually do something with it. Because we won elections for years, and conservatives lost the country. They lost the entire country. They lost the country to the point where Mitt Romney, a guy who is the senator in Utah, is signing same-sex marriage bills. Say, okay, right? But then you got other people that are operating within that model now, like DeSantis, where it's just action, action, action. And I love it. Action, action, action. That is the new management model. Offense, offense, offense. Constantly, constantly. Put them on their heels. And so if you're in a state like Georgia, if you're in a state like Pennsylvania, if you're in one of these states where it's vote by mail, ballot harvesting, we need to be in the ballot business. I cannot stress this enough. We need to be in the ballot business. Now, I don't like ballot harvesting. I don't like this idea of universal vote by mail. I wish we couldn't have it. I wish we could get away from it. I love the idea of one voting day, one person, one vote. You go in, you vote, you leave. That's it. Simple and traditional. However, when it comes to leadership at the RNC level, we need leaders who are committed to ballot capturing. We need to understand this. We need leaders who know the new way elections are held, because it's votes versus ballots. It's not just votes anymore. Ballots. And ballots, getting into that ballot box, are what counts. Folks, it's not the quality of your votes that matter anymore. It's just the quantity. And in fact, it always was. And we need leaders who understand that. We need leaders who are going to be decisive. And I understand. Look, Mike Lindell's out there, Zeldin, Harmeet Dillon, Ronald McDaniel's running again. We'll see. We will see. I wish we didn't have to talk about this story, but unfortunately, this is the country that we live in now. And I want to give a movie recommendation to everybody out there. Go watch, if you haven't seen it yet, go watch the movie The Lives of Others. If you haven't seen this film, and yes, it's a subtitle movie, I know it's a foreign flick, it's in German, but understand, The Lives of Others will show you the past in East Germany, but it'll also show you where we are going. Because we've got Fred Lucas, who is the chief news correspondent, The Daily Signal, on with us today, author of a book all about the left's assault on clean elections that we've just been discussing over the last 30 minutes here. But he's got a new piece out all about Senator Sheldon Whitehouse, Rhode Island. Fred Lucas, tell us, what did you discover that Senator Whitehouse was up to? Not just, by the way, spending time at his whites only beach club or beach club on Rhode Island. What else has he been up to during his tenure in office?
Well, Sheldon Whitehouse, a lot of people are very familiar with him as the guy who makes the sometimes tinfoil hat speeches on the Senate floor about various dark money, people hiding behind trees and so forth. What we do know, beyond these theatrics that he's involved in, he's been calling on the IRS to go after nonprofit, conservative nonprofit organizations to take away their tax exempt status. Not just that, he's pushing the Justice Department to go after these groups. He's pushing very heavily to silence these organizations. This came from almost 200 pages of documents that were unveiled by a Freedom of Information Act from the American Accountability Project. That's a watchdog group. And it shows everything that's transpired. In some cases, the IRS has been somewhat reluctant in this. And Senator Whitehouse has been very pushy. This has been called a sort of a Lois Lerner on steroids situation, if you remember that incident.
Well, and one of the groups specifically that he's been targeting, and I read in your piece, is Turning Point USA. And we're here on the Charlie Kirk Show. And Charlie actually, by way of full disclosure, Charlie sends me this article last night and says, Poso, you got to look into this thing, because this guy is targeting over and over, emailing and emailing and emailing to the IRS, to the DOJ. It looks like he's just going through his entire Rolodex of people that he can email to time and time again, saying we have to go after Turning Point. You have to take away their tax exempt status. You have to go after everyone associated with Turning Point. You have to, and by the way, disclose all the donors of Turning Point. By the way, would never say that for anyone on the left. Never say that for the ACLU. Would never say that for Media Matters. Would never say it for SPLC or the ADL, any of these groups, right? Any of these pressure groups that are out there, these censorious groups, with their money in the Cayman Islands and in the Caribbean and everything else. No. There's no problem with that. With Arabella Investors, no question. Open Society Foundation, totally fine. But when it comes to Turning Point, I would like to ask though. So, all right. So if I'm guest hosting the show of a guy who's this arch criminal, this arch, national crime figure secretly, can you tell us what is the crime? What is the charge that Senator Sheldon Whitehouse is making of Turning Point USA? What did Turning Point do that was so egregious? Were they taking money from the Russians? Were they taking money from the CCP? What's really going on behind the scenes at Turning Point? We're going to expose them. Let's expose Turning Point right now.
It is far worse than anything you said. They were not wearing masks or social distancing to Sheldon Whitehouse's liking.
Oh my goodness. Pull the plug right now. They're done. I mean, basically canceled, right? They're basically canceled. I want everyone who's purchased your tickets for amfest.com. I want to let you know right now, what have you done? Oh my goodness. Oh my gosh. Mea culpa, mea culpa, mea culpa. You know, how dare they? You're not serious. That's
what that was a charge in the letter. He said that this was said any organization, nonprofit organization with tax exempt status that endangers, in his words, endangers the lives of young people and minors should have their tax exempt status revoked immediately. And he called on the IRS to take action. Charles Reddick, the IRS commissioner, got back with him. He didn't turn him down on this. He just said that we cannot confirm or deny what we're going to be looking into, but we did receive your letter. That was more than a year ago. So we don't know what's happened here. We do know Sheldon Whitehouse has complained that the Justice Department and the IRS have not done what he's told them to do. That's so far. We have midterms are behind us. We don't know if the Justice Department and the IRS might go unleashed now and really start going after these conservative organizations in an even more aggressive way. Because we are talking about the Biden IRS, and we're talking about the DOJ here. So, I mean, we've seen what they're capable of doing so far.
Well, look, and I was joking about it a second ago, but at the same time, this is serious. Because we're dealing with a political movement here that you've got Senator Karen Whitehouse up here. I need to speak to the manager of the IRS. I need to speak to the manager of COVID, right? But also, whose name is Dr. Anthony Fauci, and also Shi Jiangli, the Batwoman of Wuhan. But and because apparently Turning Point USA is endangering children. But if you want to talk about that, but certainly won't talk about the Clinton Foundation when you want to talk about that. You don't want to go down to Haiti. But why is it? That they feel they have the ability to just go completely beyond the bounds of the rule of law and to demand these organizations, these independent agencies and others, law enforcement, the same way we just, I don't know if you heard in our previous segment, we heard they were threatening in Mojave County, Arizona, they were threatening, right? They were threatening local officials. And I know you wrote a book all about clean elections, that they were threatening local officials who said we had problems with the way this election was conducted in a separate county. They were threatening them with being arrested if they refused to certify. And the people who were threatening them were the ones who were actually running for election on themselves. And you're actually seeing this. By the way, child trafficking, Project Veritas just put out an entire expose about how the Department of Health and Human Service, one of their own fellow agencies, has been involved in child trafficking. People, kids who are getting pimped out by their sponsors. And yet, you don't hear Sheldon Whitehouse say anything about that. Drag Queen Story Hour, the mutilation. I'm sorry. But to go back, why are they so brazen like this? Why is that?
Yeah, I mean, there's many things that Sheldon Whitehouse throws out there, like social distancing was the complaint on its face. Other things he said, that these organizations have been involved in electioneering and claim they haven't and so forth. These were exterior reasons. The real reason Sheldon Whitehouse wants to silence these organizations is, we know the reason. It's because they disagree with his political point of view. And it's basically about that. I mean, this has been very much of, I mean, on some level, it gets into my book a little bit, The Myth of Voter Suppression, which is the Democrats view government and politics as just intermingled. They view government as a means of advancing their ideology and philosophy, and as opposed to a governing philosophy. This is just something that we've often seen, this type of abuse of power.
Well, that's exactly right. And for folks who haven't seen this film, The Lives of Others, I mean, what it really is, it's similar to what you're seeing out of communist China, right? That's socialism, folks. That's socialism right there. If you go look at these videos coming out of communist China, I post them on my Twitter, post them everywhere, all about these agents that will just come straight into your home. They will tell you, hey, we saw you posting on the internet things we didn't like, posting on WeChat, posting in group messages. Then they start beating a guy in front of his kids, The Lives of Others. It's all about the East German Stasi and how someone was surveilling people. A playwright didn't like the way your plays were going, was getting involved with his girlfriend, et cetera, et cetera. You have these movements that become revolutionary, and then they use the power of government, the organs of the state, against their political opponents. And that's what we're talking about here, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is at least the attempt. We don't know if it's got that far, but Attorney General Garland, he might be unleashed now that there's no constraints from a midterm election. We might see more from the IRS going forward. And a lot of this would tie back to what Sheldon Whitehouse has been pushing to happen. Sheldon Whitehouse has had partners, by the way. I mean, these same documents reveal that people like Bernie Sanders and Liz Warren helped write letters about how we need to expand the IRS and to be more aggressive and do more. Even Amy Klobuchar, who's not necessarily thought of a radical in the same sense as those three, has been involved in this type of thing.
Well, so, and Fred, in your reporting, when we talk about what's the main thing that we've seen with the IRS this year, it's been the hiring of these 87,000 new armed agents, these investigators. Now, an armed agent, an investigator for the IRS, that's a class 1811 federal agent. That's the exact same class of agent that you would see at the FBI, NCIS, Department of Homeland Security has their HSI investigators. So you're talking about special agents under the IRS. Do you believe that this is the reason for the building of this, I don't even know how else to call it, federal police force?
Well, that's important because, yes, there was one of Whitehouse's letters was about the need to expand the IRS. This came before the so-called Inflation Reduction Act, which gave the 87,000 new agents. So, yes, this is part of what Sheldon Whitehouse and the Democrats want to see the IRS do. They want to see them go after political enemies with these 87,000 new agents.
And so the fact of the matter is, this director seems to be holding the line in there, but you've got 87,000 more. You've also got a White House that's increasingly using political power to enforce on there, whether it's raids at Mar-a-Lago, whether it's the treatment of the Gen 6 detainees, it's whatever, it's going after pro-life activists under the Department of Justice. Garland just, and I've said this for a long time,
vaccine mandates, school board meetings.
Right, school board meetings. I've said it for a long time. It just seems like he's a man who's hell-bent on revenge on conservatives for denying him his lifetime appointment to the Supreme Court. That's what Merrick Garland is all about. It's not fair play, it's power and leverage. Fred, where can people get your coordinates? Where can they read this report and where can they follow your reporting?
Yeah. Please go to dailysignal.com. And I think this story looking at Sheldon's White House's correspondent reveal a lot about the left as a whole.
This is incredible. Thank you so much, Fred. I really appreciate it. Guys, folks, please thank go you. And read this article because I actually read through this thing. It's quite extensive. And it's got all the emails, it's got all the receipts, the correspondence back and forth. Fred, please, by the way, stick with this line of reporting. I really hope so.
Yeah, sure.
And we will bring you back. I'll make sure Charlie knows. Actually, Charlie's the one who wanted you on in the first place. But this is our government, folks. The East German Stasi, the agents of communist China, 87,000 new IRS agents. What do you think they're being hired for? Getting emails in, this email addressed to me, Jack, appreciate that. It's from JD. Wonder if it's Senator JD Vance. I don't know. It just says JD. You asked, why do the communazis do what they do? The answer is because they can, because they always get away with it. No one ever gets up in their face or makes them afraid because their actions. I've noticed about how when the pubs, I guess he means the Republicans, want something, they just ask politely. But when the communazis want something, they demand it. Don't you see a problem there? That's true. We live in a country where Antifa, the same Antifa, by the way, who went after the Charlie Kirk event, University of New Mexico, they were perfectly fine with marching in the streets, with preventing people from going into the event. They were perfectly fine with that. Now, fortunately, though, law and order actually did rear its head. Law and order came back. And I commend, by the way, the police that were out there, the riot police that went after Antifa at that event, because that's how you deal with these groups. Okay. That's how you deal with them. And I've seen other people say, well, shouldn't, and I see this a lot, and I want to address this. I really do want to address this. People say, why don't people go out there? And look, I've gone out against Antifa hundreds of times. But the answer is not for us to get into the streets and fight them kinetically or physically. That does not work. The answer is for us to go to police, law enforcement, and the institutions of our society that uphold the actual rule of law in this country. Social contract folks that are going to deal with the problem, because it's the police's job to do this. The same way it's the police's job to put away murders, to lock them up. And you need prosecutors and DAs that were not appointed and paid for by George Soros, but that were actually doing the work of the people who lock up the criminal threats to our country, which, by the way, my alma mater, Temple University, right? Don't go there. Don't go anywhere near Temple University. They're killing students. They're going into your homes. They're kidnapping people. They're carjacking you. It's turned into a shooting gallery. I spent 4 years of my life. 4 years of my life there. And that's what's become of it, because of the lack of anyone. Temple University, folks, Temple University. I'll never take my kids anywhere near that campus. Got some more emails here. I was looking at the Arizona Constitution and this was on there. So wouldn't Hobbs be responsible for all the voting problems? Here's what they wrote. The Secretary of State shall provide, through the instructions and procedures manual adopted pursuant to Section 16452, the maximum allowable wait time for any election that is subject to Section 16204, and provide for a method to reduce voter wait time at the polls in the primary and general elections. The method shall consider at least all of the following for primary or general elections in each precinct. That comes from, I believe that's Sharon in Arizona. Look. Of course it's on Katie Hobbs. Of course. It looks exactly like what it is. She was the one running these elections. She presided over it. And this is what we got. She wanted to win. And she did everything she could to make sure she won. Yeah, write that up, Media Matters. Appreciate you. Got another one in from Jay about Mark Elias. Laws of the First Amendment and the Second Amendment may rest on free and fair elections. Respect for Mark Elias. That's okay. Okay. Would you, and this guy's saying, would you also have respect for Hitler? No. Understand what I'm saying. I'm saying we need to play like that. I've said this for a long time. The left plays to win and the right just plays, particularly the Republicans. Republicans just play. They're out there. They're on TV. They're doing interviews. They're saying, oh, we're going to do this. Oh, we're going to do that. We're having a big investigation. Everything's going to happen. And nothing ever comes of it. And then Mark Elias, he doesn't need to brag. He doesn't need to boast. He just puts up W's. That's what I'm saying, folks. Put up W's. They knew, all right? They knew there was a problem with those printers when people couldn't get Tyler Boyer. We had him on. Couldn't get his election, his vote scanned. All right. He couldn't get it because of the ink. And did they extend the voting times in Maricopa County? Did they extend it? No. Thanks for listening. Make sure to click and subscribe and get your AmFest tickets, amfest.com.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.